Welcome back to the Sundance Reel. Well, many of us devoured Stieg Larsson's novels about the girl with the dragon tattoo series without really knowing that Stieg Larsson was first and foremost a journalist who exposed the far right and other dangerous groups in Sweden. Director Henrik Georgsson's new documentary, The Man Who Played with Fire, examines the nonfiction efforts of the author. Welcome, and thanks for being with us here on the Sundance Reel.
Thank you very much.
So were you motivated to make the film so that Stieg's fiction audience could understand that he was this serious journalist in addition to being a first-rate novelist?
Yes. As you say, I mean, he's famous for his crime novels. But he wasn't really a writer in that sense. He wrote those books just the last 2 or 3 years of his life. And before that, he worked as a journalist, eventually, not from the beginning. He did this mapping out of the extreme right in Sweden and became an expert on this. He did it on his own for many years.
Yeah, from the outside, again, looking in as an American, I mean, I think of Sweden as that bastion of socialized medicine, the 8 weeks of paid vacation.
We don't have 8 weeks.
What,
five, maybe six.
So I guess, I mean, what's the political situation really like there?
Well, I guess this whole thing that you're talking about has kind of, you know, it's not flourishing anymore in that sense. And
Stieg got interested in it very early. And what planted that seed? Because he was really young when he developed an interest in this.
Yes, he was. He was like 17, I think, when he started. And, well, maybe it was from his grandfather, it seems like. He was raised by his grandparents for like 8 years. And then his grandfather died, and he was a strong anti-Nazi person, you know, and Stieg listened to him a lot, and he was very much inspired by him, I think. And that seems to be something that informed Stieg very much.
So is the political situation changing as a result of the immigrants coming into the country?
Yeah, I mean, it has been for a quite long time, though. And we have this populistic right-wing party called Sweden Democrats. And they started off, that's what we're talking about in the film as well, how they developed from kind of an anti-immigration movement and a Nazi party, actually. They started in 89, so they have their roots in those circles. And now they're, of course, trying to be a decent party in the parliamentary, and they have like 18% of the votes. So it's the same, tendency as in many countries in Europe and, well, in a way, in America as well.
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say that because of his activism, the articles he wrote and so on, his life and the life of his colleagues was often threatened and in danger. How much of that do you really discuss or talk about in the documentary?
Yes, we do that a lot. He together with a few young people, they started a magazine called Expo, and it's an anti-racist, anti-fascist magazine where they try to expose people on the extreme right. And then, of course, they got a lot of threats and attacks, actually. And so it was dangerous, and it kind of ended 1999 with a car bomb towards two people working at Expo. And then after that, actually, there were some other incidents too in Sweden by that time, and the whole militant Nazi movement kind of, stopped for a while. But, now we have a group called the Nordic Resistance Movement, and they're quite active, actually, right now. So it continues, and it's... the Sweden Democrats, they would never say that they like what the Nordic Resistance Movement is doing, mm-hmm. but they have connections, they have ideas, floating in between them and so on. Yeah.
Would you hope that this doc is an insight for your own countrymen, for other countries, all of the above?
Yeah, all of the above, actually. I mean, it's done mostly for Sweden in a way, because we go quite deeply into the development of the Sweden Democrats and so on. And it's, most of these things took place in Sweden. But Stig was, he had this international view from the beginning. He looked very much into what was going on here in America and in the rest of the countries in Europe.
Yeah. So does the film focus a lot on his earlier career then?
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. So it's more like a film about the content in the books, not about the books, so to speak. So
that's what I was going to say. How much of the his reality, which involved a lot of intrigue and undercover and threats, you know, how much of that do you think played into what later became his famous novels?
Yeah, very much, I think. I think he was a researcher, really, that he was proud of being that and sticking to facts. But he had also another side that was like a fantasy Stig. And he was into sci-fi. And he, when he was very young, he actually tried to write a sci-fi book that was like 800 pages, but he burned it because he wasn't satisfied. And then, in the end, he tried to combine this, you know, this research side and the fantasy side, so he could tell the stories all the way, as you can't do as a journalist. You know, you have to stick to facts. And so I think he liked that. It was kind of an entertaining thing for him.
An
to
escape.
Write the books.
I would think
it was
an escape.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
So when he did die at a relatively young age, because of his previous threats to his life and so on, weren't there some conspiracy theories out as to whether or not it had been a natural death?
Yes, there was. But the thing was that he was going to the office. Expo office is what, 7 floors up or something like that, and the lift was not working that day, so he walked the stairs. And when he came up, he sat down and he had a heart attack.
Man smoked a lot of cigarettes. If you're getting across any other message, that's one.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy the way he lived. He wasn't a drinker or anything, but he had so much coffee, cigarettes, no exercise, not very much sleep, and not just junk food. And you can't do that too long.
And it sounds like a lot of stress, too, just given
of course.
So the film came after his death. I mean, were you able to talk to him, or you just relied on some of the previous interviews?
No, he died in 2004, and I didn't know him. No, it's just old material. And then we did some recreations with an actor and so on. Yes.
Okay. Let's see. This is, again, in the World Cinema Documentary Competition. What else are you working on?
Actually, I started off as a documentary filmmaker, but I've been doing mostly narrative feature stuff for 10, 15 years now. So right now I'm working on a TV series, 3-piece, 1 hour each, in Sweden. So I'm in editing right now.
Do you already have a platform, a distribution platform for this doc, or is that anything we can talk about?
Yeah, no, we started that process right here in Sundance, so we have a sales company working on it right now. So hopefully it will get distributed to many countries, because this, what's going on in the world is really, you know, towards some kind of authoritarianism on the right side, and that's happening in Sweden and in many countries in Europe, and well, in here as well.
And Stig Larsson, the man who played with fire, one of the World Cinema Documentary Films, another local screening tomorrow, February 1st, 10 p.m. at the Redstone Cinema. And then again Saturday the 2nd at the 11:30 a.m. at the Egyptian Theater. Great for spending some time with us. We appreciate it. You're listening